Right. Good morning, everybody. Want to welcome all of you. What a beautiful Sunday. Don't you love fall? Don't you love this time of year? Marie informed me the other day, I don't think we turn our clocks back until the first Sunday of November. So we got a few more weeks on that. First of all, let me start with something sad. So Doug, raise your hand. Doug Kane. I believe this is Doug. Is this your last Sunday with us? So let's give him a huge hug. And he's heading back home in the Chicago area, but I just want to thank Doug for everything. Let me give him a big hand for everything he's done. Another point of celebration, Dave Reedy, raise your hand, turn 70. Let's give Dave Reedy a huge hand. Today is our fall festival, and we will be gathering there at 4:30 on, I love to say this, our church property, and soon to be our new church building home. Praise Jesus. All right, there you go. So make sure you bring a lot of food. If you don't have food, Marie and I would take checks or gift cards. So anyway, bring that. And we're going to do something really cool. We would love to have some really, just a few seconds, short video snippets when you head out today. We'd love to ask you a couple questions. One is why you love West Side. We'd love to hear your stories. The second is your prayers for the West Side. What would you love to see God do on the West Side? We would love to hear your voices on that. And please go ahead and when you head out, don't run away from the camera. We would love to have you to do that. Take your scriptures and first of all, turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. We're going to be talking about generosity these next few weeks, and let's just pray for God to bless us. So Heavenly Father, as we talk about generosity and how important that is in our lives, that this is a matter of our hearts. And so, Lord, we just pray that every word that is shared today will draw people closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I don't know what you think about when you hear that word generosity. I love this definition that I found. Generosity is the selfless willingness to give, whether it be time, resources, encouragement, or love, without expecting anything in return. That's the key. Generosity isn't I give so that I can receive. Generosity is simply you give because Christ has given to us. It's giving with no strings attached. You may remember Jesus shared this little lesson with his disciples, and for us, he said, the left hand shouldn't even know what the right hand is in. Now, you read that and go, well, that's confusing. And his whole thing is, you should give in such a way that you don't draw attention to yourself. The right hand doesn't even know what the left hand is doing. And we've all been a part of generosity when there's strings attached. Amen? When somebody gives you something or shares something with you, haven't we all been caught? Have ever been through a timeshare presentation? Raise your hand. Isn't that fun? Or Tupperware? Or remember, you've always got that really good friend and you show up. Marie and I, we were just married, had some really good friends. We showed up, and there's a guy there that we don't even know. He gets out the book. He goes, let's talk life insurance. And I'm like, let's talk dessert. You know, I did not come here for that. Now, we've all been in those situations. And I like to say that I've never given, hoping that I'll get something in return, but that'd be a lie. We need to realize that generosity has nothing to do with a motive of getting something back. It is being selfless. It is realizing, as Acts 20, 35 says, it is better to give than receive. So these next few weeks, we're going to look at generosity with our time, with our talents, with our trials, our treasures, and even with our tithes and offering. How can we have a heart of generosity? Time, it's been said, is money. But as you get older, I've become to realize time is far more valuable than money. Amen? Amen? It is priceless. And so how we spend our time matters. And if you think about it, we're obsessed with time. You ever thought about how often we use the word time in our lives? Time flies. You've got to make time. I made good time. We had a good time. Just in time. It's time to go. It's a race against time. This is big time. No, it's a hard time. In the nick of time. Go time. On time. There is no time like the... And you're thinking, don't even mention the word time one more time. Time matters. It's mentioned 888 times in Scripture, the word time. So this morning, I want to just make it simple. Let's look at two ways to get the very most out of our time. Number one is the word, a time to, here's the word, reflect. A time to reflect. If you're of a certain age, you probably remember a song by the Birds. Some of you are like, who are the Birds? And it was a time, and you probably remember this is straight from Ecclesiastes. And I'd like us to stand as we read this. Or if you like, some of you can break into song. So everybody stand. Verses 1 through 8, Ecclesiastes 3. Here we go. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, a time to give up. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war. At a time. You may be seated. Reflection. It is the power of reflection is looking back to move forward. I heard it put that reflection is like looking in a mirror. It doesn't change who you are, but it reveals and reflects who you are. That's what reflection does. It serves the same purpose. It's finding a holy place and finding holy rest. It's a time to remember and how important that really is. We live in a culture, again, that we do remember a lot of things. If you just look at our calendar and all the dates that we have off and all the holidays that are coming, it's obvious that we do like to take time to remember. I always love to just research how businesses and things get started. And I've always been fascinated with Hallmark cards. How many of you have ever received a Hallmark card? Okay, good. How many of you have ever watched a Hallmark movie? Good. Now I know who are not my friends. So anyway, Hallmark. So I want you to know the Hallmark cards based in Kansas City, Missouri, started with an 18-year-old named J.C. Hall. This is interesting. And he basically had two shoeboxes full of postcards, greeting cards, and he would just sell them, and they did door-to-door. Well, that business really took off until 1915. Him and his brother, now the business is called Hall Brothers, 1915 had a huge fire, and they thought, we're just going to let that go. But they realized they were onto something. But instead of going door-to-door and selling postcards, they said, what if we created a whole line of cards that people would mail? We don't have to go door-to-door. They'll come to us. And let's celebrate things like baby showers, a newborn baby, birthdays, graduations, weddings, anniversaries, a new job, a new home, retirement, sympathy. And in 2024, that strategy netted a profit of $3.5 billion with 20,000 employees. Not a bad idea. All because people love to remember, and they love to even reach out to others and say, I remember your birthday. I remember your anniversary. I remember the fact that you're going through a difficult time. And then if that wasn't enough with technology, you don't even need a card. You can get these e-cards. And the e-cards are not about you reaching out to someone on their sake. It's you reaching out to somebody, allowing them to know emotionally what you're going through. So here's a couple of examples, very touching. Here's the first one. I used to care, but I take a pill for that now. Can some of you relate? Raise your hand if this one isn't true from this previous week. Have you ever had one of those days when you're holding a stick and everybody looks like a pinata? Anybody had a week or a day like that? Raise your hand. Don't look at the person next to you. That That could be awkward. Now, those e-cards, I would say, probably are not Hallmark in quality, but it tells us that we love to not only share how we feel, but we love to reflect. We love to look back. We love to remember. And those times are important. Former times are important. We need to realize that the Israelites did this constantly. On their calendar, they had times that they would reflect through Passover and other festivals of what God had done for them previously so that they can lean into the history and then build their faith on the future. Now, here's an area of reflection that I want to spend just a little time on because I have a hard time with this, so my guess is you do too. Tucked away in the Ten Commandments, the commandment that has the most verbiage, in other words, it's the longest commandment, believe it or not, is remember the Sabbath. The Sabbath. And that word Sabbath means to rest. And so we know from Jeremiah 6:16, it says, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads, look and see for the ancient path and ask where the good way is and walk in it and you will find," here it is, "rest for your souls." The Sabbath. How in the world can you practice a Sabbath day in our world today? So coming up here is a website. It's called practicingtheway.org. And I want to encourage you to go check that out. There's some great resources on there on slowing down on the Sabbath. And so I ordered this. It's called The Sabbath Practice. And they have this little booklet that is outstanding. And I just think it asks the right questions to get your heart to think about, what do you do on a weekly basis, are you ready for this, to slow down and to be in the presence of the Lord? So I just want to give you four quick words to think about. Number one, stop. Sabbath actually means to stop. In Genesis, God worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, he what? Did he rest because he needed physical rest? No, this is God. God is already putting in rhythm the fact that, number one, work is important, but rest is important. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, Jesus left his home and he went to a solitary place. So this week, I want to challenge you, may already have this, is to seek silence in your week. I want to do something here that's going to be a little unnerving. You ready for that? If you're visiting, we do this every Sunday. So anyway, I'm going to ask us all to be silent right now for 1 minute. Okay? Okay, ready? Set, go. How many of you were nervous during that minute? Some of you were thinking, boy, I hope I don't cough too much. Or your parents are thinking, I hope my kid doesn't pitch a fit right while we're in silence. They call that dead air. Have you heard that phrase, dead air? But we don't live in a world that admires and works towards silence. Would you agree? A lot of noise. So the first thing is to just challenge yourself this week is silence. So, Lord, I need some time that I have nothing but silence so I can actually listen, so that I can hear you. And that may be really difficult for you, but find a place of silence and then seek a place. We all need our holy places. We need places that we can retreat to. And maybe you haven't retreated there in a while, but you need to have certain places that you can go to that you just sense I'm in the very presence of God. The other day, it was really interesting. What I have missed so much at McCormick's Creek is since the tornado, they've shut down certain trails. Trail 8 was one of my favorites. I always call it the highway to the wilderness. I love trail. They opened up a big section of 8. I didn't know that till the other day. And as I was walking through there, I can't even tell you how I just felt this presence of God. Like, it's good to be home again, isn't it? There's silence. There's a place. And so I just want to challenge you this week to find those things. Number 2 is rest. Isn't it interesting in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And what does he do about the green pastures? He makes me lie. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say, hey, suggestion here. Why don't you go hang out in the green pastures? No, God's like, I'm going to make you go and rest in the green pasture. And it is so important that we find seasons of rest. Eric, my favorite subject in school was PE, and I loved that. And I love the word recreation. But you know that word recreation is recreation. It is finding a way to slow down. And I heard a suggestion. I love this. He said, you know, we are wired to make a to-do list. But when we learn to rest, we have a don't-do list. There's 100 things you can do every day. But sometimes you need to say, I'm not going to do that. But I am tenaciously going to pursue holy rest. And the next one is delight. And that is, you know, I've heard it said that people view God as if he's a cosmic killjoy, like he doesn't want us to enjoy life, and that is so untrue. He wants you to experience joy, and part of Sabbath is clinging to the Lord, but also having glorious joy in the Lord. You don't think God wants to hear us laugh? You know, he wants us to have joy. So the other day, here's a little simple pleasure that I have. That I got to experience the other day. So I'm just making a little protest here. I can't stand that some of the IU games, was it Peacock? Yeah, I got it. Anyway, so we didn't give in to that sin. We didn't admit. So I'm watching this on my phone on the GameCast, which is boring. So anyway, I'm watching it, and I'm fine because I know it's going to be a blowout, IU and Iowa. And then there's about 3 minutes left in the game, and I'm like, I can't take this anymore. And I went and sat in the car, and I turned on my good friend Don Fisher. Because win or lose, me and Don are going to work this out. And when they had that play, and Fisher with the, there's the catch, the 30, I'm pumping my fist. I mean, I'm sure their neighbors are like, he's not right. He's not right. When I was a kid, I used to love to listen to ball games on the radio. I know that is strange. That brings me joy. I don't know what brings you joy, but this week, whatever that is, find it again. God wants you to experience joy. And then number 4 is worship. Psalm 63:4 talks about lifting our hands in worship and how important it is that we just have the freedom to lift our hands. When I'm in the wilderness, I lift my hands all the time. And I got to tell you how important it is. You know, that is the universal sign for what? Surrender. And so when we come to church, first of all, it's important, not mandatory you raise your hand, but just that you have a heart that says, Lord, I want to worship you. We don't come, matter of fact, I love in the early church, do you know what they call their Sunday gatherings? The Lord's what? Day. This is the Lord's day. So if we come to church and know that, this is not about us. It's not about getting prime time seating. It is simply about what? God and worshiping Him. And that changes everything. And how you worship and what draws you, I would call this whatever your spiritual pathway is. For some of you, it's music. You just love praise music. For some of you, it's the word of God that feeds your soul. For some of you, it's just deep prayer. For others, it's just expressing words. For others, it's forgiveness. It's giving your time to others, daily living. But Colossians 3:23, this is worship. Whatever you do, work at it. with all your heart as if working for who? The Lord. That's worship. That is worship, that every day you say, Lord, I want to worship you by giving you my best. Why? Because you've given me your best. Worship. Reflect and cherish every day. That's part of the power of reflection, is to step back, listen, and just thank God for another day alive. And realize that today, you don't have to worry about the good old days. Today is a good old day. So this is a deeply spiritual illustration. It comes from The Office, season 9. And Andy, you know how The Office, they always look right in the camera. And Andy, who's just never quite right, he utters these words that actually are profound. He gets his dream job to go back at his university that he came from, Cornell. And so here's what he says. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. Now, I want you to think about that. You know when the good old days are? Right now. You don't need to go back and go, oh. Now, I do the same thing like you do. You ever look at pictures 20, 30, 40 years ago? And you'll go, oh, man, I was happy then. Were you really? I mean, seriously. We need to realize today is a good day. Amen? It's a good day. And so do we need to reflect on the goodness of God, not reflect on there were better days, but they're all behind me. No, that's a terrible way to view life. Today's a great day. Reflect on that. And then number two, this is a big deal, is that we need to have the time not only for reflection, but for redemption. Ephesians 5, listen to this. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. This comes out of the King James. See then that ye, there's your King James, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And I love this. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So first of all, he talks about the power of reflection. And then I love he uses this word, we are to cherish the time, we are to redeem the time. Now, there's a practical word in Greek for redemption. Here's the practical word, and he actually uses this in this text. And that Greek word means literally to buy up, and it means the best bargain. So in other words, it's a merchant who makes the best of his day, he redeems his day, because he diligently searches for the best deals. How many of you have the spiritual gift of shopping? Raise your hand. Some of you? Okay. So he said, you know how a merchant practically every day, he makes the most of every day. He studies, it's an art. And so that's how he approaches a day. Every bargain that I get today is going to benefit others. So today I redeem this. That's the practical. But listen to the biblical definition of redemption or redeem. To redeem means to buy back, to rescue, to deliver something that is lost or taken, and often requires a ransom. Wow. You talk about redemption and you talk about Jesus, you're talking about something totally different than a good day. You're talking about the fact that he saved your life. And he saved my life. And that changes everything. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have swept over your offenses. This is God talking to us. Like a cloud. Your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Isn't that awesome? Return to me. I've bought you back. I've given you a ransom. To redeem, remember, means to buy back, to rescue, to deliver something that is lost. At times it requires a ransom. Psalms 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord, I love this, tell their story. Those who redeemed from the hand of the foe. I want you to know this morning. I thought a lot about this. I really do wish we could spend the entire day, and I wish I could just take the microphone and just pass it down row by row. You know why? Do you know how many rescue stories are in this room? Amen. Folks, he saved your life. Have you ever thought about that? He rescued you. That's redemption. That's what, when we lift up praises to him, say, Lord, we are redeemed. We need to share those stories. I mean, think about if somebody actually physically saved your life. Let's say you're in a war situation or you're in a terrible accident. Somebody pulls you out of a car. My guess is you're going to tell other people about the person who saved your life, right? Do you share that with other people? Do you share with them the fact that Jesus Christ rescued you? Because that changes everything. This is what it's all about right here. The cross. This is it. When we come and we fill out our prayer cards, and we want to encourage all of you to continue to take the cards and write out your prayers and continue to post these, but you need to realize this is the ransom right here. Matter of fact, it's interesting. I posted a couple of poems up here, and the poems have the same title, The Great Exchange. Laurel Luman said this, and I love her heart. She's a farmer. She said, years ago, she said, I was out in the fields during the harvest, and I thought about the great exchange. I come torn, broken, with no words to be spoken, just to pour my life, my all, into your hands. I come weak and helpless, with no power against the darkness, just to pour your love and your strength into my soul. We have been rescued. We have been redeemed. And in just a moment, you're going to be able to break the bread and drink the juice, and that's what it's all about. That this was paid with a price, and that was his life. It's the greatest thing we could possibly do with our time, is come into the presence of Jesus Christ and bow down to him and just thank him that he saved us, folks. That's why we're here. That is why we're here. Church has nothing to do with coming and singing some songs and some guy talking too much, blah, blah. That's not church. This is church. We are redeemed. You are saved because of Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we are redeemed, we are rescued, we are restored. And so let us cherish this time and cherish every day of our lives, Lord. You are our Savior, and we surrender all to you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen.